In 2010, beekeeping became legal again in New York City, and apiaries bloomed from rooftop to shining rooftop. But urban beekeeping is kind of a wild hobby. It's estimated there are 500 beekeepers in the city, and there are tons of stories, like people who keep bees in the living rooms of their apartments, or people having to wrangle their bees so they don't bother Secret Service snipers who are setting up on rooftops, and maybe most famously, the mystery of the red honey of Brooklyn. Andrew Cote is the founder of the New York City Beekeepers Association, and he's seen it all. And a few weeks back, he took us out into his world amongst the hives of New York City. So, hey, Andrew, thanks so much for having us up here. This is incredible. We're on the 7th floor roof of One Bryant Park, which actually extends way higher than this, but we're on one of these mechanical roofs, which is like these secret spaces in New York City that you don't know about, and you can kind of look over and over and on top of things. And what are we going to do today?
Today we are going to open up these beehives, take a look, and see what goes on in this little box of calm that I keep on top of this building. So what we're doing here is we're lighting the smoker, and the smoke helps to calm the bees.
Okay.
So we're going to open up this beehive in a few minutes after we get the smoker puffing away nicely with big billowy clouds of smoke.
This thing looks like so old school. It looks like a Victorian fireplace where you got that big puffer, like
this smoker and this type of beehive has been used for over 150 years, and I can think of very few industries that have changed so little.
Yeah,
the equipment that I'm using is the same type of equipment that my great-grandfather may have used. In fact, the type of beehive called the Langstroth hive is the same type of hive he used.
We are at one of your hives. You have many hives on rooftops all over the city.
I have about 102 beehives in New York City. I have them in each of the 5 boroughs. And urban beekeeping is a thing that's happening all over the world. I have beekeeping friends in Tokyo, Kyoto, Berlin, London, Paris, Hong Kong, quite a few places.
Yeah. Melbourne. And this is like an international community of beekeepers?
Well, thanks to the internet, we are an international community, and we exchange ideas and share our experiences. It's fun in Manhattan to have beehives in such an array of places. I've got beehives at the United Nations. I have them here right next to Times Square. I've got them on synagogues, churches, schools, in community gardens, on businesses of all stripes. So it's interesting and it's fun. And at the heart of it, it's all beekeeping. So the way I take care of this beehive here on top of this building is the same way that my grandmother took care of her bees in northern Quebec.
That's incredible. You can see the bees flying in and out of them. I've never been this close to this many bees in my entire life, and they're not even open yet.
This is the entrance down at the bottom. It looks something like a filing cabinet, maybe, these boxes. So a Langstroth beehive is the type of beehive that's used the most in this country, certainly. There are many, many types, but this is my preferred type. And the bees more or less work their way up. And we've got one box on the bottom that's going to be for them, for their babies, for their food. A second box also for the same. And then above that, there's a little metal screen called the queen excluder, and the queen can't get her childbearing hips through that.
Okay.
The other bees can. So they go up through there, and
you have two boxes above those.
Right, the boxes above those. So the queen, she lays the eggs. Only the queen lays the eggs. So in those boxes where the queen can't reach, we have only honey. That's honey harvestable by us.
Okay.
And so we take that.
Yeah. So now you're puffing that smoke into the box?
Yeah.
Or right around the box?
So the smoke will calm the bees down a bit. It'll distract them. Bees communicate via pheromones.
And now you're opening it.
Now I'm taking the lid off.
Lifting that lid. That is a lot of bees, dude. Wow.
So how many bees would you guess are in this hive?
I'm bad at numbers. That's why I became a writer. But let's call it 10,000? How close am I?
You're not very close. It's about 75,000 bees.
75,000 bees.
So look here, I'll pick this one up by her wings, and we'll see she has 4 wings, 5 eyes, 3 parts to her body. She has 2 stomachs. six legs, and one stinger that comes out of here.
Yeah.
The females can sting. The males cannot.
Okay.
Females make up 99% of this hive. These bees are the workers. They control the means of production. It's a real Bernie Sanders dreamland.
Real Karl Marx moment, yeah. And so in this box, there are all these slats. You pull out the slats, there are bees working their way around them. Is that honeycomb? Is that actual honeycomb?
That's right. So these are, we call them frames.
Okay.
And on those frames, there's honeycomb. The bees built this comb in these hexagonal patterns, as you can see inside there.
It's beautiful.
We've got very damp nectar that hasn't quite yet been converted to honey.
Okay.
But here we have capped honey. And if I tear that open,
the honey just comes right out.
Comes right out.
Oh my God, it just oozes the moment you touch it with this blade. So you said you have 100 hives around rooftops in New York City.
That's right.
How much honey does that make?
Depends on the year. One good hive could produce 100 pounds of honey.
Wow.
Might produce nothing. It'll produce something in between.
Okay, so speaking of beekeeping in the modern world, I think when most people think of beekeeping, they think of this really bucolic, beautiful thing. Maybe you have a garden. You're here in New York City. What are some of the weird things that happen when you bring beekeeping into an urban environment like this?
So there's a maraschino cherry factory in Red Hook, Brooklyn. And it was founded in 1946. And the family tended to be a little bit cavalier about how they disposed of the high fructose corn syrup mixed with red dye number 40 that is used in part to make maraschino cherries. They would dump it onto the street. It would dribble down the road and go into the sewers.
It's like Amityville Horror. It's just like, that building is bleeding.
It was quite a sight if you were to go early in the morning and see it. So bees, they like sweet things, and they will go after nectar, of course, but if there's sugar water or high fructose corn syrup or antifreeze, which is sweet, then they'll go for that. And the bees won't really discern that that's not a healthy choice for them any more than our children will not discern that potato chips or cookies is not the right food for them.
Yeah.
Amongst other people, a woman named Cerise, which it's funny because that means cherry in French, her bees were bringing back what appeared to be red honey. And really, it was just the high fructose corn syrup mixed with the red dye number 40, but they were transporting it back in their honey stomachs. Bees have two stomachs, one to transport nectar. They were bringing it back to the hives and making what looked like red honey. Now, it had a strange metallic taste. It didn't taste good, and technically, it's not honey. But the cherry factory hired me to try to figure out the problem and see what he could do about it, and we solved it pretty easily by putting up screens and not allowing the bees access, not dumping the garbage in the street on a regular basis anymore. And there was a piece to the story that didn't immediately come into the public purview, which was the gentleman in question who ran the factory was also running a marijuana growing center underneath the cherry bottling facility. And that came to light when they closed in and arrested him for that. Unfortunately, he took his own life. But the red cherry honey, that was something else.
Yeah. And is it true that you have been asked by the Secret Service to control bees so their snipers don't get bothered when they're setting up?
Actually, I've had to deal with the Secret Service many different times. For example, I used to keep bees on top of the Waldorf Astoria. And the Waldorf Astoria was, until our most recent administration, where the sitting president of the United States would always stay.
Huh.
And for example, when Obama was there, he was very bee friendly. He had bees at the White House on the lawn. We would have to coordinate with the Secret Service in different ways when we wanted to tend to the bees. But the time that we had to deal with them most directly was when then Vice President Joe Biden was to visit a restaurant, a now defunct restaurant called the Bridge Cafe, down on the corner of Water and Dover. It's now gone. Hurricane Sandy took it away. But the snipers, the Secret Service needed to be on the roof of that building during that time, but we had beehives on the roof.
Yeah.
So they asked me to go up and screen them in the beehives.
So the sniper can sit there and not get bzz, bzz, bzz all around.
I think that's what it was.
This is incredible, Andrew. Thank you so much for showing us your bees and telling us your stories.
Nice of you to make the time to come up here, and it's been fun for me. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Andrew Cote is a fourth generation beekeeper and the president of the New York City Beekeepers Association. And if you want to find ways to use some of your honey, check out splendidtable.org. We've pulled together a bunch of killer honey recipes, like Melissa Clark's feta-stuffed phyllo torte. You can find them all at splendidtable.org.